Dave.
Don't tie my cord this.
Yeah. Father, thank you for Dave. Lord, thank you for all the wisdom and knowledge that he has about you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that he lives a life true to you, Lord. And I pray for a fresh anointing on him this morning as he shares with us. And Lord, give us ears to hear what it is that you are saying to us, Lord. Not about what you're saying to the person to the left or the right of us, Lord, but what are you saying to each one of us individually? Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Is that about the right sound level? Great. Now, last week, Brian mentioned that inscription on the £2 coin about standing on the shoulders of giants. And I feel that today, the message I feel I should bring is standing on top of what Brian brought last week. It very much builds on that. Because I want to look at God's love for us and also our response to that love. And I think looking at God's love for us and our response to that love meet in a simple phrase that happens three times in the Bible, and that is Abba, Father. I was going to ask Jonathan and Helen. I know they've got the costumes in their wardrobe. I was going to ask them to come and to bring us back to the amazing outfits of the Swedish pop group ABBA. But that isn't actually what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Abba, Father. I will get round to what we are talking about in due course. Don't worry. We're just on a little detour, you know. Not getting distracted, of course, Helen.
Of course not.
Now, this phrase, Abba, Father, appears three times in the Bible in the New International Version. If you're one of those who's using the Passion Translation, two of those cases are translated a bit differently. They are there in the Greek. I checked just to make certain I got that right. But for various reasons, the Passion Translation translates a bit differently. But when we look at the three examples in turn, we'll find that there's some very important truths that are meant to impact the way we live our lives. So the first example I want to look at of the phrase Abba, Father, is in Romans 8, where Paul writes, reading from verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." You know, I love it when some of the words that are given during the worship tie in so much with what the preacher has prepared to talk about. And Mauricio talked about resilience. And I've met many Christians who, from time to time, are not very resilient. They have doubts about whether God loves them, whether God accepts them, and whether God will be there for them. And these short verses give Paul's responses to those fears. So listen again to what Paul says. Verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So the first thing that Paul is saying is that the Holy Spirit within you is a spirit of sonship or daughtership. Not a spirit of fear. Why does that matter? Well, it matters because the result of this spirit of sonship or daughtership being within us is we've not got any need to give in to the fear of being an orphan, the fear of being left alone, the fear of being abandoned. That's a deep human fear. And remember, Jesus at the Last Supper says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Spirit. And throughout the Bible, right from the early chapters of the book of Genesis, you hear this consistent message from God saying that he's never going to leave his people. So when we go through times of doubt, we can cling to that and remind ourselves that God doesn't lie. We have God's promises written down for us in black and white that he will be with us whatever we're going through. And no matter how many people may turn against us, no matter how circumstances may go bad, God is always there for us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But what Paul says in these verses in Romans actually goes far beyond this. Verse 15, the Spirit you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So, Paul is saying that we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God within us, and that he brought about our adoption as children of God. You and I, if we have given our lives to God, have been adopted into his family. And that wasn't something that we were sort of clever and managed to arrange for ourselves. There isn't some sort of cosmic social worker who's found us a good placement. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And having been adopted by God, he will never abandon you or me. He's given us that promise that he'll never leave us. He can be trusted to keep his word. And that's the position of great security. So now for the next point that Paul makes, verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Holy Spirit himself testifies with your spirit, my spirit, that we're God's children. It's not wishful thinking on our part, but it's the Holy Spirit within us bearing witness to this truth that God is our Father. Why is that important? Well, because under Jewish law, you needed two witnesses for any legal matter. So what Paul is saying here is that we have got two witnesses to the fact that we are God's children. And that means that we have complete, reliably, legally valid proof that we're God's children. So each one of us who follows Jesus is meant to have that complete certainty, because the Holy Spirit within us is proclaiming that. The Holy Spirit within us is a witness that we are God's children. And God thinks that's good enough for a court of law. And it's even good enough for when the devil is bringing accusations against us. See, that's the devil's bad habit, isn't it? That he accuses us of, brings charges against us. But the Spirit is our witness that we're God's children. And he proves the charge is false. So when the devil's saying, oh, God doesn't love you, the Holy Spirit is saying, that's a lie. God loves you. When the devil's saying, God's abandoned you, the Holy Spirit is saying, that's a lie. God will never abandon you. When the devil's saying, oh, with your sin record, God will never accept you. And the Spirit's saying, that's a lie. God does accept you. He does forgive you. He washes the slate clean. And that's not about mind games. It's the work of the Holy Spirit within me and within you. Now, the part that the Holy Spirit plays in our assurance of being God's children is mentioned again in Galatians 4, verse 6, which is the second place that the phrase Abba, Father, crops up. Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So did you notice who it is who cries out in our hearts? The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So it's the Holy Spirit within you who cries out that God is your Father. But what is this Abba thing, this Abba Father? Well, as many of you will know, the New Testament was originally written in Greek because that was the main language of the eastern part of the Roman Empire. But it's generally believed that the language Jesus and his fellow Israeli Jews would have spoken amongst themselves most of the time was probably Aramaic. That was the sort of the local language of the area. And if you look closely, you can see quite a few Aramaic words that have been dropped into the New Testament. And in more traditional translations, not so much in the Passion Translation, but in the more traditional translations, these Aramaic words are just left there, left untranslated, because they're explained by a Greek word alongside them. And one of these Aramaic words, which survives in the New Testament, is Abba. And where this Aramaic word, Abba, occurs, they then put the Greek translation alongside, pater. So the phrase is Abba ho pater, or Father, Father. If you translated both into English, it's just Father, Father. Now, whenever a word's repeated in Scripture, it's usually done for emphasis, such as when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. You know, it's giving more emphasis, like, this is really true. This is a bit different because it's done in two different languages, but I think it still has that. The reason the Gospel writers did it and Paul did it, I think, is to emphasize that this term is something special. It's a sort of, look at this. This needs thinking about. But when Paul uses the phrase Abba, Father, he wasn't inventing a new term. He was using a term that Jesus himself had used when addressing God the Father. So what does Abba really mean? Well, Abba, it's an intimate family word which a son or daughter, even a grown son or daughter, would have used to address their father. Many people today translate the word as daddy, which conveys the intimacy of the relationship. But other scholars rightly point out that in the culture of the time, the word would also have the assumption of obedience. Because in those days, children, and even grown children, would have revered and obeyed their fathers. So some people prefer to translate Abba as dear father, to try to convey something intimate, yes, also reverential, and the implication of obedience, really. The Passion Translation in, I think it was the Romans, goes with beloved father for a similar reason. Either way, when Jesus addressed his heavenly father as Abba, this was radically new, because in all of Jewish tradition, no one had ever done that. No one had ever claimed that God was their father. No one had ever proclaimed the certainty that they had that intimate relationship with God himself. So that's an important part of what Jesus was revealing when he came to earth as a man and proclaimed that God was his Abba, Father. And then, of course, he further reveals that God also wants to be our Abba, Father, our loving Heavenly Father. And he wants to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. Paul tells us in the passages that we've read that the Holy Spirit living within each follower of Jesus cries out, Abba, Father, to witness to that fact that we are God's children now. And it's vital that we experience this certainty if we're going to conquer fear and doubt in our lives. It's vital that we experience this if we're to grow into living confident, joyful, victorious Christian lives. Because if we're insecure in this, then we've got such wonky foundations, there's not much to build on. Back in 1980, before the message of the Father's love became mainstream in the church, a guy called Thomas Smale wrote a book called The Forgotten Father. And one of the excellent points that he made was that Christians will never be confident enough to move in the gifts of the Spirit unless they first had this experience of the Holy Spirit within them, assuring them of their position as children of a loving Heavenly Father. If you're not sure that you have the Holy Spirit within you crying out to your loving Father, then you're not going to take many risks, are you? You're not going to start trying to use spiritual gifts for sure. Oh, but what if it goes wrong? What if I lay hands on someone and they don't get healed? What if I come up the front and say a word and it's rubbish? What if? And the answer to the what ifs is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not about mind games. It's the Spirit within you saying, you're God's child. And that means that he will listen when you call. And I think that was written 40 years ago, and it's still bang on true today. Because people do talk much more about gifts of the Spirit than they actually use them. People talk more about the power of the Spirit than they actually experience it. We're not meant to be talking about these things, we're meant to be doing them. But that can only come out of this place of security, of knowing that God is our loving Father and the Holy Spirit is within us, and it's him who's going to do these things. But so many people are fearful of using spiritual gifts, so fearful that it may go wrong. You do have God's power at your fingertips to bless other people. But do you have the courage to step out and do it? Do you have the security that God is there? And Katie's word was spot on. It really joins in with this part of what we're looking at. We are in a place of enormous security, whether we feel it or not. And so that is an area that people will be happy to pray with you afterwards if you are feeling insecure, if you're not sure. We'd be happy to pray with you because God wants you to be sure. It's not meant to be a constant, oh, God loved me yesterday, but does he still love me today? That's not security. God wants far more for us. But this intimate relationship has a cost. And that's really the second point of this sermon. Because when we call God Abba, Father, this carries the cost of submitting our lives to the Father. As mentioned earlier, in Jesus' day, people would have revered and obeyed their fathers. And this side of the phrase Abba, Father becomes clear in the other place in the Bible where the phrase occurs, and it's Mark's description of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14 from verse 35. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. See, when Jesus cried out, Abba, Father, this was inseparable from his total submission to his Father's will. And when we call God, Abba, Father, we are proclaiming our intimate relationship with the Father, but we're also proclaiming our trust and submission to him. Jesus lived his earthly life totally obedient to the Father's will and totally reliant on him to provide all his needs. And that should be our response as well. God shows his love to us, and we respond to that. And when we call God Abba, Father, we're actually buying into a whole lifetime of submitting our wills to his will and living the life he calls us to. When we call God Abba, Father, we're saying that we accept him as Lord of our lives and that we will trust him and submit all that we are to him. It's intimate, and yet it also implies submission and trust. So it's completely right that the night that Jesus was arrested, the night before he went to die in agony on the cross, we see Jesus praying to his Father and calling him Abba, Father. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. See, for Jesus, the cry of Abba, Father, was a deep heart cry based on trust and obedience and submission to the Father's plan. And for Jesus, when he says, not what I will, but what you will, that's the direct consequence, the direct working out of what Abba Father means. It was a giving up of all his rights and putting the Father's way first. And we are called to follow that same costly path. When we say Abba Father, we are saying, and I will obey what you tell me to. But I think many people try to separate these two parts of Abba Father. There's many people who want the nice security part, but are a lot less happy with the submission part. Probably most of us would be in that situation if we're honest. You know, we like God giving us a cuddle and assuring us that He loves us. We love that part, but then we're not always so happy when He says, "And now, what are you going to do about it?" And that is where a lot of our insecurities come from, actually. Because if we're sort of half-hearted, it's like we're being pulled in two directions. It's like we're servants with two masters, almost. And it doesn't work very well. We try to do have the bits we like, and, you know, let's just leave the other bit to one side for now. I'll ponder that further, Lord. As in sometime never, I'll do what you want. So, you know, that's a challenge, I think, for everybody. That is what we are like as humans. So when we say Abba, Father, God is reminding us it does mean submission as well. But He is someone who can be trusted. You know, going back to Katie's bridge, this is a bridge that isn't going to fall down. We'll have experiences of humans who are saying, "Trust me." There's any number of thousand politicians just now saying, "Trust me." But God the Father can absolutely be trusted. And not just in this life. You know, we're talking eternally. We only get a little bit of the picture that we can see here. But God's trustworthiness is way beyond that, because it's eternal. So wholehearted commitment to God is vital if we're going to live our lives filled with His peace and its love. But it's a voluntary act. And today, God is asking each one of us, where do you stand? Do you want to call me Father and accept the assurance of being my child? And will you also accept that you're buying into a lifetime of obedience? Yeah, that's scary. But the truth is that He can be trusted with our lives. He is that bridge that will not fall down. He loves us and values us far more than we love and value ourselves. I'll say that again because it's really true. God loves you and values you more than you love and value yourself. He longs to bring good things to your life, but He can only fully do that if you give Him permission and accept Him as both Lord and Saviour. So in short, Abba Father means assurance from the Holy Spirit that God is our Father, but it also means obedience to the Father. There's God's part of the bargain, that the Spirit has led us to adoption. The Spirit cries out that we're God's children. But Abba Father also means we're going to obey Him. That's our part of the bargain. So that's the challenge I want to leave with us. To look at ourselves and ask, is He our Abba Father? Do we have that assurance from the Holy Spirit? And do we willingly submit to His leading in our lives? Now, I'm going to ask Selva to play a video clip now. I want to give you time to listen to the clip, listen to the words, and ask God, what is going on in my heart? Do I need to respond in a new way today? And be honest with God. God can handle it, okay. God can handle your honesty because he already knows what's there. And if you are cheating a bit and pretending, he knows that. And he's not, you know, going to get angry because of this sudden revelation. So just be real with God. I think the clip's about 5 minutes long. And it's time to just pray and be honest with God about where you are. And it may be some of you have never made the decision to follow Jesus. Well, now's a good time. Maybe you have made that decision to follow Jesus, but you haven't yet really experienced this security. You're maybe not sure, or did it work, or whatever. Well, now's the time to put that right. God wants you to know that you know that you know that he's got your back. Or maybe God's just prodding you a little bit about something that he's asking you to do and you're just sort of putting it off. You're going to form a committee to think about it for a while. If that's the case, be honest with God and spend time now talking to him about that.
Dave, brilliant. Okay, go.